Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christchurch Baldock in North Harts. My name is Chris Jenkins. I'm the Senior Minister, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you here this morning. We're beginning a new series this morning in our Bible teaching, as it's the run-up to Easter. We're looking at John 17 and Jesus's prayer the night before he goes to the cross. Let's commit our time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day. We thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Above all, we thank you for Christ. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave him to be our Saviour. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit this morning. Lord, draw near to us. Enable us to worship you, to feed on your word, and so to become more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now my wife Becca is going to read to us from God's word and lead us in prayer.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. We're going to worship God together using the Bible's own hymn book. As you know, the Psalms are the hymn book of the Bible. So we're going to worship God in Psalm 100. If you've got your Bible there, perhaps you'd like to find it and join in with me. Let's read Psalm 100 together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you because you are good, and your faithfulness continues through all generations. Father, this generation has a different story to tell from any that have gone before. But all the generations that have gone before in the past have their own story of how you have been faithful. And we thank you that we'll be able to tell the same story of your faithfulness. Father, the psalm tells us to give thanks. And Lord, we have so much to thank you for. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us, for all that we can enjoy. We thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet virtually and share fellowship together in this strange way. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who binds us all together. And we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that we are your flock and you feed us from your word. Lord, we're sorry that sometimes we're not thankful. We complain and we argue and we're difficult to live with. And we give in to negative thoughts. Please forgive us and help us to live thankful, praiseful lives because you are a faithful God. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters all around the world as they meet together today to worship you. Please be with them. Please encourage them. Please keep them safe. We think particularly, Lord, of those whose lives are hard enough before a virus and those who are persecuted for following you. Lord Jesus, please be very close to them. Help them to keep going. And Lord, we pray for our own community. We think of those that we miss seeing. We think of those that we've been used to meeting up with week by week. Lord, we pray that you would keep speaking to people, keep showing yourself to them, and help us all to keep reaching out to one another and to those around us in all the ways that we can. Lord, please protect us, but above all, keep us looking to Jesus. Father, we pray especially for those who are lonely, for those who are poorly. Help them, Lord, to reach out to you and to know your faithfulness and your love. And Lord, we pray now that as your word is read and preached, that you would speak to us, comfort and strengthen us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. We're delighted to have our son Robbie with us this morning. Here he is.
Good morning.
Robbie, you've been away for a few months. Tell us where you've been.
I've been in New Zealand.
And what were you doing there?
All sorts. Some context for anyone that's been to the missionary prayer meeting as little as I have. Gareth Jones is out there living with his wife and family, and associated with his church is a trust that runs preschools and childcare, amongst other things. And so a lot of my time was spent working for them to pay my rent. Amongst that, you know, serving at the church, working with Gareth, various student works and Bible studies, a bit of cricket, just enjoying living in New Zealand, living for Jesus out there.
Yeah. What would you say are the main lessons you've learned?
I mean, how to do my own laundry, own washing up, but I mean, the biggest challenge was probably before I left. Bit nervous, apprehensive, didn't really know what to expect, didn't really know what I'd be doing exactly. So that tested my faith and my sort of trust and dependence in God, which is something that Gareth and Ali are a quality example of. They live quite a life that's kind of quite uncertain. But they just, you know, never fail to, well, I can't say never, but always know God is good to them. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Rob. Now you're going to read to us from God's word.
Yeah. So we're in 17th chapter of John. I'm going to read from the NIV. I think it's the most recent NIV. And yes, Jesus' prayer. So, John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him, to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Thank you very much, Rob. Please do keep that passage open. Let's pray again as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may encounter Christ and become more like him. In whose name we pray. Amen. What is Jesus doing now in heaven? Well, we might say he's ruling from heaven. That would be true. We might say he's receiving the worship of heaven. That would be true. But we're also taught that Jesus is praying for us in heaven. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. Some people think that Jesus is too important to bother to pray for us. So instead of talking to Jesus, people try and pray to his mother instead, or they try to pray to one of his followers instead. There's no need for this. Jesus always lives to intercede for us. Jesus always lives to pray for us. So we should always pray to Jesus. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him. We come to God through Jesus. He's able to save us. He's able to hear our prayers. Now, what does Jesus pray for his disciples? Here in John 17, we're given the very rare privilege of hearing Jesus pray to his Father. Number one, Jesus prays for his glorification. And number two, Jesus prays for his disciples. Firstly, then, Jesus prays for his glorification. John 17, verses 1 to 5. The glorification of Jesus is his restoration to heaven, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. At various points throughout John's Gospel, we see that the hour has not yet come. In chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus says to his mother, My hour has not yet come. In chapter 7, verse 30, Jesus' enemies are unable to seize him, we're told, because his hour had not yet come. But now, the night before Jesus goes to the cross, the hour has come. The hour is the moment Jesus will go to the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's also the moment when Jesus will be resurrected and restored to the glory he enjoyed in heaven before the creation of the world. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. There's a mutual giving and receiving of glory within the Trinity. The Father will glorify the Son by raising him from the dead. The Son will glorify the Father by saving a people for his Father. The fact that the Father will glorify the Son is an indication that Jesus is God. Because we know that in the Bible, God will never share his glory with another. Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Jesus can only ask to be glorified by God because he is God, God the Son. Jesus prays that God the Father will glorify him. Because, verse 2, you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. God the Father has given the Son authority over all people that he might give eternal life to the church. Can you see that? To all those you have given him. The Father gave the Son a group of people to be saved, and Jesus came to earth and saved them. Jesus has the authority of the Father to do this. And the completion of this work is worthy of glorification by the Father. Verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not just pie in the sky when we die. It's a relationship, knowing the Father and knowing Jesus Christ. It starts now. We enter into eternal life. We come to know God now. Verse 4, Jesus has brought the Father glory on earth by finishing the work the Father gave him to do. Jesus is finishing the work of saving a people for the Father. And so he says, verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus lived in glory before the creation of the world. He was given a people to save by the Father. He comes to earth and saves them by dying on the cross as the atonement for their sin. He is therefore restored to the glory that he enjoyed with his Father before the world began. Number 2, Jesus prays for his disciples. Here in John 17, verses 6 to 19. Point A, Jesus' grounds for this prayer, verses 6 to 11a. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. This applies to all believers, and particularly here to the 11 apostles. Verse 6b, they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So the Father gives the people, gives us a people to the Son, and they obey God's word. That's how it works. That's how people come to faith. They are given to the Son by the Father. He dies for their sin on the cross. Those people then obey God's word. Verse 7, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. What is Jesus referring to? Verse 8, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Jesus' people accept God the Father's words from Jesus. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, verse 9. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus prays specifically for God's people. He does not pray for the world in general. He prays for the ones the Father gave him. He prays for the ones who are God's, whom the Father has given him to save. Verse 10, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Jesus and the Father are one. That which is the Father's also belongs to the Son. They share all things, including glory. That's remarkable. And it's only true if Jesus is God. Verse 11a, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Jesus is returning to the Father to be restored to his place of glory. Point 2b. Jesus prays that his disciples may be protected. Here in John 17, verses 11b to 16. Verse 11. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is a unique moment in the New Testament. This is the only moment when God is addressed as Holy Father. It echoes Leviticus 11, verse 44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. God alone is the Holy Father. How wrong to apply this title to a mere human being. For example, the Pope, who is known as the Holy Father. He is not the Holy Father, God is. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. This verse reminds us of Psalm 54, verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. God's name represents his character and also his power, his might. Jesus prays that his disciples will be protected by God's character, in faithfulness to God's character, and by his power, all summed up in the phrase, in your name. Jesus continues, the name you gave me. In other words, Jesus is the revelation of the Father to the world. The Father's name is also the Son's name. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name with the Son. That's astonishing. Mike Meller is now a well-known Christian leader. Before he became a Christian, he was a professional musician, a journalist, and an alcoholic. When he became a Christian, he immediately found he had fellowship, close friendship, and partnership with a group of Christians, even though previously he had nothing in common with them. How do our relationships with other Christians match up to this? Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. So Jesus is asking the Father to continue the work of keeping the disciples in fellowship with him, except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. This is talking about Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. His loss was not a sign that Jesus had failed to protect him from the evil one. Rather, just as the disciples were predestined for faith in Jesus, so Judas was always doomed to destruction, prophesied in Scripture. For example, Jesus teaches in John 13, 18, that Psalm 41, verse 9 is fulfilled as Judas shares his bread and turns against Jesus in the Last Supper. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. When the disciples remembered all that Jesus had taught them, especially the teachings of the Upper Room Discourse, and after they'd received the Spirit, the disciples would experience the full measure of Jesus' joy within them. This matters because the world is going to hate them. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Jesus gave his disciples the word of God, and the world's response to this is to hate them. because the world hates God. It hates God's word. It hates God's Saviour. The disciples then will be in the world, but not of the world. They are of God. They are like God. And therefore the world hates them, and they need the protection of God's name. Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That will be the experience of Jesus' disciples. They'll be in a hostile world. They'll be hated. They'll be attacked by the evil one, by Satan. But they will also be protected. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Jesus repeats in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We've all had this experience, if we're Christians, of being in a social gathering and feeling that we don't belong. Maybe because people are getting drunk or taking drugs or blaspheming or being immoral. And we think, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I remember a night very clearly, about 20 years ago. I was invited to a social gathering, actually, on a Sunday evening after church. When I got there, I knew almost immediately I couldn't stay. Jesus doesn't necessarily want to take us out of these situations. Sometimes we decide that an event is too ungodly for us to be there. But my prayer, he says, is not that you take them out of the world. Standing for Christ, representing Christ, speaking for Christ, even when the world is being most ungodly. The disciples are to be protected in the world, exposed to all its evils, but quite unlike the world, not evil. In fact, point 2C, Jesus prays that his disciples may be sanctified. Here in John 17, verses 17 to 19. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To be sanctified means to be set apart as holy, to be different, to be godly. Now they are to be sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. We really cannot have too much exposure to God's truth. God's word is truth. Jesus was a preacher and a teacher. He proclaimed God's truth. He taught God's truth. We should devour God's truth. We should read it as much as we possibly can. It will sanctify us. It will make us holy, like Jesus. We should read Christian books as much as we possibly can. We should listen to sermons and come to Bible studies as much as we possibly can. Because it is by God's truth, by the word of God, that we will be sanctified. And this isn't just for intellectuals. When my father was a young man, he had a friend who was illiterate. He became a Christian. He learned to read so that he could read the Bible. And he went on to be able to preach sermons. We're to be protected. We're to be sanctified. And verse 18, we're to be sent out into the world. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. This has an application to the disciples themselves. They are the apostles. Apostle means sent one. They were the sent ones who would write the New Testament, plant churches, nurture churches. Jesus sent them into the world to do this. But surely there's an application to us. Have we not been sent into our localities to represent Christ? Do we not represent Christ in our families, in the workplace? Surely Jesus sends us into the world too. We see this in the lives of missionaries who go abroad. We support various missionaries from Christchurch, but we're all on mission. Verse 19, for them I sanctify myself. Jesus could not have been any more holy. He was perfectly holy. But he set himself apart. He gives himself to God to be the Savior of the world. He sets himself apart. He sanctifies himself that they too may be truly sanctified. When Jesus died on the cross, he takes our sin on himself. We give him our sin. He pays for it on the cross. He takes the punishment for it. And he gives to us his perfection. Isn't that wonderful? We are truly sanctified. We become perfect in God's sight. We become holy. We are set apart for God, even as Jesus is set apart for God. So we've seen Jesus prays for his glorification, and Jesus prays for his disciples. We've seen the grounds for this prayer. We've seen that Jesus prays that his disciples may be protected and sanctified. Can you see yourself in any of this? Do you know Christ? Have you glimpsed him in his glory as you've read his word or listened to his word? Jesus knows that he is worthy of glory. He knows that he is returning to the glory he enjoyed with his Father before the world began. He knows he's been granted authority over all people. He knows that he alone can give eternal life, and he will give it to all those the Father has given him. Through Jesus, we come into the experience of knowing God as our Father and Jesus as our brother. Jesus is worthy of all glory. Is this how you see him? Maybe you need convincing that his claims about himself are true. Why not go along to a Christianity Explored group at a church near you? Why not look into the claims of Christ? We're starting an online course on Wednesday, April the 8th. That will be an opportunity to look into the claims of Jesus Christ. You'd be very welcome to join us. Why not read a book called Cure for Life? Cure for Life. Cure for Life is available online. It goes over the evidence for why we should believe that Jesus really is God, that he is indeed worthy of glorification. But if you are a Christian, are you worshipping this Christ? He is worthy of glory. A friend of mine went to preach at a church. An old lady said to him, "I don't know why everyone doesn't become a Christian. After all God asks for is an hour a week." That's not right, is it? Jesus is worthy of all glory. Therefore, he is worthy of the worship of our lives, of our whole lives, poured out in worship to him, serving him, loving him, pleasing him, showing him to the world, speaking of him. Jesus is now glorified with the glory he enjoyed with the Father before the world began. We have the privilege of worshipping him too. And Jesus prays for his disciples. Yes, he's praying for his immediate disciples, his first disciples, but can we not see applications for ourselves? Of course we can. The grounds for Jesus' prayer for his disciples is that they've been given to him from the Father. That's true of us. In the same way as a cricket captain chooses his side, so God the Father has chosen a team and given them to the Son. We're on his team if we belong to him. So we need protection. Protection from the evil one. Protection from a world which hates Christ. We need to be in prayer. I had a special senior friend called Oswald Penry. He was a great man of prayer. One of the things he prayed for was protection. He told me he would get up in time to pray so that everyone on his prayer list, including me, would know protection that day. Jesus believed his disciples needed prayer for protection. And so do we. Are we praying for it? Are we praying for others to be protected? We've had a frightening wake-up call in the present crisis. We all realize how vulnerable we are. We realize that some are being killed by this disease. We need to pray for protection. We need to know that we're right with God, that our sins are forgiven, that we're going to heaven. And we need the sanctification Jesus speaks of. We need to be set apart as God's person. Jesus set himself apart to go to the cross, to die there in our place, that we might be forgiven and know that we're going to heaven. Do you have this certainty? Do you know you've been set apart for God? Open your life to Christ today. Ask him to be your rescuer from hell for heaven, from God's wrath for God's love. Sanctify yourself to God. Commit yourself to God. Keep listening to these sermons online. And when the crisis is over, come to church. Become a Christian. What's stopping you? If you'd like more information, look at the Christchurch Baldock website. Search for Christchurch Baldock. You'll find my contact details there. Get in touch with me if you'd like help in becoming a Christian. And if you are a Christian, rejoice that you've been given to the Son by the Father. You've been saved by Jesus. You have eternal life. You know God. You are prayed for by Jesus. He always lives to intercede for you. You are protected by the prayers of Jesus. You are sanctified by the Word of God. What a privilege. So don't you want to live for this gospel? Don't you want to live for this Savior? Let's worship him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for a wonderful gospel. And we thank you for a wonderful Saviour. Thank you that he sanctified himself, set himself apart to go to the cross, to die to be our Saviour. And now, Father, we sanctify ourselves. We set ourselves apart to be your people, to live for your honour and glory in the world. Father, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Anoint us to live as your people. And Father, in this time of crisis, please would many people turn to Christ in repentance and faith and know that they're going to heaven. Father, we do pray for our society. We pray for our world. We pray that you'll have mercy. We pray, Lord, that many people will be saved. So thank you, Father, for your presence with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much for your company this morning. Do join us again this evening at 6 o'clock when Bernard Palmer will be speaking. Thank you. God bless and goodbye.